The guests on Love Hurts occasionally use some adult language and go into some more intense subject matter. But that's kind of how real life works anyway. This is Love Hurts. I'm Brian Berlin. Today's guest is Dawn Harris. Dawn is a storyteller living in New York City. In her 20s, Dawn found herself in a situationship with someone she met through improv. She tried to navigate her feelings while trying to understand what their dynamic was, but continued to be left unfulfilled until she started advocating for what she wanted. Hey, Dawn, how's it going?
I'm well, how are you?
Pretty good. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing today.
Sure. It's kind of a good day for it. It's like gray and rainy. And
yeah.
So like, I'm gonna talk
about we're in the right mood to just like get into some past relationships and talk about why they didn't work. What did you want to talk about today?
Well, I have been doing a lot of thinking about this one specific period of time in my life. It's like when I moved to New York, it was sort of carrying over from some like college dating patterns where I would get into like these no strings attached situationships and then develop feelings and get hurt, you know?
Yeah. So you were saying like, it's kind of the like, oh, this is just a casual thing. Let's not put a label on it. And you're kind of like, oh yeah, I'm cool with that. When in your mind, you're like, I'm not cool with that, but I have to pretend I'm cool with that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The worst thing was there was this one guy. Actually, this went on for like years, but the first time that we hooked up, he had been really pursuing me. This is like within the improv community, so it's a very small world.
Yes.
And he had been pursuing me, and then we hooked up. And the next day, when I saw him, he was talking to everybody. But when he left, he passed me without even making eye contact.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very clearly, like, oh, I am ignoring you in this small group of people kind of thing.
Yeah. 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 It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. It like was literally right after hooking up to where you're just like, all right, well, this is strange.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking to myself, well, I mean, why couldn't we just continue talking and having a good time? You know?
Yeah. Like, why did this have to like fully take us away from even communicating with each other?
Exactly. And then, you know, I actually, so he walked past me, didn't look at me, and I got really pissed off about it. And I actually called him right away. And I said, what was that? Why did you do that? And he was like, oh, I just have to go. My grandma's sick. I have to leave. And I'm like, oh, you took a long time leaving.
And then also didn't say hi to me. So
and yeah, didn't say anything. So, and then he, you know, he apologized. And then I think it happened one or two more times. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing this for the right reason. Cause I actually do want to be cared for and respected by this person, but I don't feel that coming from him at all.
Yeah. Like you're sort of giving them like the benefit of the doubt a little bit. And then like every interaction, it's like, oh, there's less. I'm like, it's the problem is this other person. It's not me. Like, right. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, so you might think that the first time that happens, but if.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like the fifth or sixth time.
Yeah. It's like, maybe this person is kind of shitty.
Yeah. Like they're, you know, they're not all there. And I was also, why am I putting myself in this situation?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're getting overly excited and wanting it to work. And, I mean, I've been there. I'm only saying this because I have been there too, of like, oh yeah, I'm getting excited about this thing. And I've probably been on the other end of things where then I was like, oh, I don't feel the way I thought I was feeling about this person. And I have no idea how to like navigate out of this scenario. Mm-hmm. And so,
oh yeah. It happened on the other side too, where I would go on a date with somebody. I'm like, this did not pan out the way I would like. And then, you know, I would say, that's it. I don't want to do this anymore. But it was different. It felt somewhat different because if that, so for instance, there was one person who I didn't want to go out with anymore, and they kept on trying to try to get me to go on another date. And I just told them that this is not happening. We're not going to do this again, because I knew that it would just keep hurting him.
Yeah.
But not from this other guy. He would just, anytime there was an opportunity, he would take it, you know?
Yeah. So this is like sets up this pattern that you're dealing with for a few years of just like, all right, I'm going to try not to get invested in this thing, but then I am. And it's not like, then you feel weird for feeling invested when that's like a normal thing to feel, but you're like playing that game of like, oh, I'm, this person is telling me I'm not supposed to feel this way. And yeah, kind of like navigating that, which is never fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the very first guy I'm talking about, I'll just like call him Jeff. His name was not Jeff.
Okay.
He saw that he could do that multiple times. And it was just sort of like, oh, I can mistreat this person, you know? But he was a very, he was very well liked in the community, and just very like, I don't know, just like a popular guy. He didn't really want to be tied down or anything. And he had his own insecurities and stuff like that too. Like we opened up to each other about, for instance, like my father died when I was really young. And his father was absent from the picture. He, I think, left his mother when she got pregnant. And so there were, I know that he had some problems of his own, but, you know.
Yeah, and then, well, I guess there's also that element where it seems like you're connecting, like you're actually opening up with each other and having these deeper conversations.
Yeah.
And then there's like this weird, like you're kind of hitting this weird speed bump that you're like, I don't know why this is here, but this person is putting this here.
Yeah. The final few months of this, we, he and, you know, I would like block him and just take some time off because I didn't like seeing stuff that he put on Facebook. For instance, one day, you know, after he was telling me, I'm just not a relationship guy, it's just not for me, I saw him post like, I'm now accepting girlfriend applications.
Oh, God.
And what are you doing?
Yeah. And how long? So at this point, like, how long had you kind of been like on and off sort of like?
2 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah. And so in the final few months of it, that we made up, we wanted to be friends again. I put him back on socials. And he said, I would like to take you to a movie and, you know, just spend some time with you. And so we went to a movie. We went to see like Wolf of Wall Street. And that was kind of we were getting to a very depressing part in the movie. And I just got up and said that I had to go. I didn't want to stay anymore because I was just getting upset. And I was like, oh, this just doesn't feel good at all. I feel like this is going to lead to something that I'm going to get hurt by. And so I got up and I left the movie and he chased me out to the street like a rom-com. And he said, this is the start of something. I do want to try this. I just want us to go slow and maybe not do this the way we had done it before. And if we can just be friends for a bit, take sex off the table and just be friends. Well, I want to see where this goes. And it went nowhere.
Yeah. So constantly, again, like sort of playing this game where it feels like you'll pull in and then like are kind of pulling, like, again, for 2 years, that's a long time to be like constantly playing that game of like, oh, maybe we'll make something happen out of this. And were there times like you even made like the conversation just then of like, oh, I want to take this slow. I want to see where this goes. Were there like other types of conversations over that 2 years where it was like, oh, we're sort of hooking up now. We're like, oh, maybe let's try dating. Or was it always this kind of like, it was sort of oscillating between the two?
Oscillating, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you have this moment where you run out of the movie theater and you're like, he's like, let's take this slow and do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, does that go anywhere from there? Or is it just kind of like another one of these conversations that then like turns?
Yeah, for maybe a month or so, we would show up at the improv theater together and leave the improv theater together. But while we were there, there were times that I felt like he didn't actually want to include me with his friend circle. I mean, he legitimately didn't let me in a circle of people.
Yeah.
I was just standing on the outside of it.
Oh, God. And yeah.
For just like a minute. And I was like, a minute is too long. So I just like turned around and went to go see some of my teammates and talk to them. And there was, so we were Valentine's Day of like 2013 or 2014. I had asked him, you know, do you want to do something? Are we going to go somewhere? And he said he had to work, so he didn't have a lot of time, but he could squeeze me in for coffee. And I mean, he worked at a bar, so you could have said, just come by the bar and hang out, you know,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Or just get somebody to cover your shift if you want to.
Or be like, oh, sorry, I can't make it work tonight. How about tomorrow night? Like, you know, what
yeah.
kind of have some kind of compromise to it, right?
Yeah. So in the background, I decided to ask two of my teammates, Jen and Brian, if they wanted to go see the Oscar nominated animated short films at the IFC Center.
Always a fun time.
Yeah, I love it. And I didn't want to just have like maybe 2 minutes of coffee and then feel shitty about myself the rest of the night. So I asked them and like we went and got coffee and kissed me goodbye and like ran to the subway and left. And then when I showed up to the movies, Jen didn't come. She had just gone through a divorce. And I think just being out on Valentine's Day, just that was not
too much
going to be good. Yeah. But Brian walked into the lobby and he had a huge bouquet of flowers for me.
Whoa. It's just like, so like at this point had, like you said, you and Brian are friends, but was mm-hmm. there, so this was like sort of a romantic gesture then, right? Like,
yeah, but I missed it. I was like,
okay,
what a nice guy.
Oh, so you're like, oh, this is just this guy platonically bringing me a bunch of flowers on Valentine's Day.
It's like, you're just a gentleman. You're a good gentleman. He's from the Midwest.
And did he know, like, had he been aware of kind of this whole up and down situation with Jeff and kind of like how it had been affecting you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was one of many people that was saying, if this doesn't feel good to you, what you can, there's so many ways that you can get out of this. If you don't feel good, get an Uber and go, you know? And some people that I was oversharing with that maybe didn't, they weren't good enough friends with me to see what I was doing and to have some sort of sympathy. Like they were friends with Jeff and, you know, more so friends with him.
Yeah. So they're almost playing this like diplomatic role of like, oh, Jeff's mm-hmm. kind of just like that sometimes, or like almost justifying mm-hmm. some of his behavior in a way to help you feel better about it rather than like being like, hey, maybe mm-hmm. this is not a good match kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, since then, me now, if it wasn't feeling good like that, I would just say no.
Yeah.
And so I got it. I started going to therapy for it. I felt like no one was ever going to love me. I was going to be alone forever. And I had previously been in therapy in college. And they had diagnosed me with bipolar 2. And then later on, a doctor said that that wasn't what was going on. It seemed more like extreme ADHD and PTSD. But I started going to therapy again because I felt like this is so much harder for me than it seems to be for other people. The depression of it is so much more intense than I think other people experience. And so I got another, a better diagnosis that was, you know, bipolar 2, and they put me on the right medication. So a lot of times I look back in that period of my life and I feel really embarrassed of how I behaved because I wasn't medicated yet, you know, and I wasn't aware of, you know, so I don't know. I felt like my reputation was kind of ruined a bit.
But it doesn't feel like, I mean, just the way you describe it, it doesn't feel like so much of your reputation. It's more of just like not great circumstances that you were doing your best to kind of navigate, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is true. It was a shitty situation, but I overreacted to it and I put myself in front of the bus so many times, you know?
Well, I guess that, yeah, it's like maybe, so you're kind of saying like, because you were where you were at that point and didn't really know your diagnosis, I guess like the ups and downs were feeling bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So like as you're getting like kind of going back to therapy and getting diagnosed, at that point had like you and Jeff still been seeing each other, or was like contact cut? Was there like a moment where like contact was like kind of things had ended, or was it still kind of coming in and out?
Yeah, that time with him was ending as I was getting to a better diagnosis, and I had put a stop to it.
Okay. So like what, the coffee shop date was like one of the last kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we stood on, I remember going to the theater sometime after that, and we were supposed to leave together, but he just kept on sticking around and just ignoring me. Like I would be in one room and go to the next. And I heard him, I overheard him bitching to his best friend that I was annoying him and following him around. And so I told him, you know, I just like walked in while they were talking about this. Like I heard everything you just said, and we went out to the street corner and ended it, you know.
Yeah.
He was saying that I just can't be your one and only. And I even at that moment had a little twinge of like, well, why don't we just have fun? And then.
Yeah. Like you're already trying to justify making this okay again. And then your brain said, wait, never mind. Like, I don't want to do this again.
Yeah. And I told him, I'm going to, you know, I just be aware. I'm going to take you off of social media. Just because it like hurts me too much. But he was so mad at me for blocking him a few times.
Oh.
You know, it made him feel really bad. And so he's like, how dare you make me feel like a bad guy?
Oh, God. Yeah. Now it's getting turned on you and you're getting, you're made feel guilty for like, again, just kind of standing up for yourself and being like, well, I have a better sense of what I want now. And I'm trying to, you know, put a line in the sand for that.
Yeah,
that's true, man. I had like an experience like that where I was the guy, like I was that version of the guy, and it was like I just got so in my head and so overwhelmed with the situation where like on paper this whole thing made sense and this person was really great and I was really into them, but I was also like getting over a bad breakup experience, and so it was like playing this game of I care about you, but I don't want to like put labels on this thing. And she was so great, like being like, there's no, you don't need to do that. We're fine. Like she'd always be like, we're fine. And it was me getting so stressed out in my head about like, well, I don't want to just hook up and string you along. And it's like, well, we're having fun. Like this is, you know, like we're okay. And again, me just being so unable to get out of my own head. And then we kind of like we're off and on for a little bit. And then finally I was like, you know what? This is I'm not giving this person the respect they deserve. Like, I do care about this person. I want to date them. And said that I was like, I think we should like give this a try. And like a month and a half into us being like, oh, we're going to officially date, I got overwhelmed again and like ended things. And it was awful. Like, I just didn't handle anything well. And like, I'm like, I remember she said to me, like, I had just told all my friends that we were back, like we were together, and now you're doing this. And I felt like so terrible about it. But I just like, I couldn't figure out what I was looking for or what I wanted. And, you know, I'd like to say I wasn't the full version of the guy in your story, but like, I definitely was like versions of that guy in that I cared about this person and was trying to figure things out and was trying to like actually talk about it, but I also was like, you know, I was just all over the place. And I think it was just kind of a time in my life where I wasn't able to fully figure it out. But it's not fun. I mean, and this seems like you said, like the way you're describing it, it is kind of like this time in maybe like your early 20s ish that this is all happening. Yeah, which also feels like that time too, where like I feel like we're still figuring ourselves as a people and what we're looking for and kind of like how to navigate that.
Yeah.
And it's not fun. It's not like a great experience.
Sucks so bad.
But so at this point too, with, I know we mentioned like Brian and these flowers, like did that just like, this was this one little off moment and you were like, oh, this is nice. And then like, didn't think about it anymore.
Yeah. It was a one-off.
Okay.
There was one time we were at a bar and Jeff walked in with a girl and I was there with Brian, and like I got really upset. I was like, oh my God, he's on a date. He's dating this girl. Like they're hooking up. This is terrible. And I was, like crying to Brian about this. And he goes, you're here with a guy, right? It's like, what does he know? And I was
Yeah,
like,
like
you
you could
don't
be doing the exact same
understand.
thing, like.
You don't get it. And so I actually just left him. I like cut off like our hangout and I left. And it was really bad. I felt so terrible.
Well, yeah, it also feels like you, again, you're still kind of processing the ending of this thing, and you're like, you can't, like, you're like, oh, I just need a little more time and space to be able to, like, navigate this, but it hurts right now, right? Like, you're in
It
it.
hurt.
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to take it all off the table, not date improv guys, and I was even just like, I don't want to date anybody. And I was unemployed at the time, and I started temping at a law firm. I was filling in for a receptionist that was healing from a hysterectomy, and there was a guy there who was older than me, Dominican, sort of a silver fox, and started flirting with me heavily. And on my last day of the temp contract, he had everybody go for happy hour, and I wound up going home with him. And I got really drunk because everybody was like getting me to do shots, and they were telling me, who do you hate in the office? Tell us who you hate and stuff like that. And it was
That's
just,
funny. Yeah, they're like, we're never gonna see this person again. Let's really get everything out of this, and yeah.
And that happened, and then he said, I know we were very drunk. But please don't think that this is a one-time thing. I want to keep on seeing you. I've been panicking because I didn't. I hate that I'm not going to see you on Monday at work. And so just started kind of a thing. There weren't really any labels on it, but it felt really good. He was taking me to very nice dinners. He was much more much like a much more put together person. He owned his condo and he owned a car and he had like a 401k and just was an adult and like and he like introduced me to his brother and all of this stuff, and he was dropping hints that he might want to settle down and get married. But he was 19 years older than me.
Oh, yeah.
And that to me was a little bit shaky, but I was so just like ready for somebody to love me that I was just like, okay, this person loves me. I'll do anything. I'll do anything to stay in this. But he kind of started, things started to drop off. And then eventually stuff started to get really weird. One day he forgot to pick me up, and he used to like pick me up at my apartment after work, and then we would go to his place for the weekend. He forgot to pick me up, and then I called him and I said, what happened? And he said, oh, come, I'm so sorry, come on up. And when I got there, he always kept his apartment super neat and tidy, like everything was just like perfectly pristine. But when I got there, the bed sheets were all messed up.
Oh, okay.
And I ignored it. I ignored every single one of these little signs. Like, he was speaking Spanish on his phone around me a lot more often. But then there was a day where I showed up, or I in the morning I was taking a shower and I had been leaving my things at his place, and there was a woman's hair in my hairbrush. Like he neither of us had long black hair, and so I felt really suspicious, and it was around Valentine's Day, and he wasn't asking me to do anything. So I kind of had this plan that I was gonna go to his apartment and get him very, very drunk so I could get his phone away from him. Because he was also, he drank a lot. There was a day where we were at a bar and I had to basically like drag him. Like I wanted to go home, but I knew that he wasn't going to make it to his apartment. So I like dragged him. And in the middle of the night, he got up to go to the bathroom and he walked full speed into his closet. And like his foot was bleeding and he knocked all of the clothes down and everything. It was just,
Yeah.
not good. So I knew that once he starts drinking, he's not really going to stop. And when he passed out, I got his phone and I looked at WhatsApp because he only wanted to do sexting through WhatsApp. And my messages were not the most recent. There were like three strings of messages where he's like sexting back and forth with like all these other women.
Ugh.
Yeah. So it was my rock bottom. I like slapped him in the face and then stormed out and went into some very intense therapy. It was really rough. And that came on the heels of the stuff with Jeff,
Got it.
you
So it's
know.
like shortly after that had all kind of ended.
Yeah. And then I got it out there again. At some point I was like, I felt so gross that like he was the last person I ever like that ever touched me. And I was like, I'm just gonna have sex with somebody and just clean the like clear
Yeah,
the
like I don't
slate.
want this on my body anymore kind of thing.
Yeah. I was like, I cannot wait until I grow new skin, you know. I joined like Tinder and Match and all of this stuff. I went on a couple dates and it felt really creepy to me, so I didn't like that. And I thought, what has always worked for me in the past? Why don't I hook up with a friend in the improv community?
The surefire, yeah.
Yeah. And I had remembered, you know, that Valentine's Day that year was really bad, but the previous year, Brian had taken me
Oh, the
to,
flowers.
yeah, like he brought me the flowers. And so I knew that he was single. And we were always having a good time going to like museums together and dinner. And he was always like, he's just a good guy, you know, just one of those people that everybody likes, you know, and he can make everybody feel very comfortable. And I just didn't feel like he would be the kind of person that would mistreat me. So I wanted to, you know, maybe ask him to hook up with me, but be sure that I was completely straightforward about it and that I wasn't dressing this up as anything it wasn't. I wasn't going to be dishonest. And so I saw him on Facebook Messenger one night. And so I was like, hey, and he said, hey back. And then I wrote, do you want to have some sex?
That's very funny. Just some
Yeah,
sex.
some sex. And I was like, that's so creepy. It sounds like a scammer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I would have been
Like,
like, oh, Don's Facebook got hacked.
hacked, yeah.
Let me.
And I saw like this, he was typing back to me and it just went
The dots
on.
are just going over and over.
And I was like, it doesn't take that long to say yes. So what's happening? I'm like, he's pressing the question mark a million times. But then the bubble went away. And I got up and I was like pacing around my room. I was like, this is so stupid. What are you doing? Everybody's gonna hate you. Why? What is your problem? You know? And then he wrote back and he was like, okay. And so the next night we went and got dinner around the corner from his apartment, and I wasn't really trying to impress him, and he really wasn't trying to impress me. He was like, the first thing he told me was like, I didn't have time to do laundry, so I just bought new sheets.
Are you feeling like the stress of the Senate? Because you've now like set up these expectations, right? And now you're like hanging out as you normally would, but now it's like, oh, this thing is gonna happen. Like, did you feel like stressed out about it or like
Oddly, no. It was
weird?
just,
That's
it
yeah.
felt good. It felt like, it felt fun. It felt
Okay. Yeah.
kind of like I was sort of like giddy about it. And he was like, what are we doing? This is weird. You know, not weird. It was just sort of
Yeah, it's
like, this
different.
is
It's different than your dynamic that you've
different.
established over the last few years of knowing this person, right?
Yeah. And so we hooked up and I wasn't trying to be some sort of like maven, you know, or this was like some passionate, steamy love affair. We just had a good time, you
Yeah.
know? And he followed up with me the next day and we just kept on seeing each other. And at some point I started to develop feelings and I was really scared and I knew that I had to ask him. And if he said no, then I knew it was going to hurt, but I was not going to write him off. I was going to try to work through it so we could be stay friends, you know? And I think he was worried that I would do something like that to him too, that I would write him off. So knowing that this, he could say no, I just asked him one day, I was like, what are we doing? And he goes, what do you mean? And I was like, are we, what, I couldn't even say the words. And he said, do you want to be my girlfriend? And I just like nodded into his pillow and he goes, I already told everybody we're dating.
That's very cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was good. And so behind the scenes, I had been trying to get my things back from the Dominican, older guy. And so he sent my stuff back, including the hairbrush. Did not have the hair in it anymore. And I wanted to do sort of a symbolic letting go.
A purge.
And I asked a couple of my friends to go and do this. I had this plan and I asked some of my friends to go and everybody said no, except for Brian. and he and I went down to Southbury and had the hairbrush in a box and we were filling it up with rocks. And then we got on the East River Ferry. And when we were under the Brooklyn Bridge, I dumped it in the water. like a mobster.
Yeah.
Like
there's just bodies in there and this box with a brush in it.
with equal weight, And then, we sort of, he put his arms around me and we rode off and now we're married, we...
Yeah, so you played the casual hookup game all the way to getting married.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's the first, it feels like the first time where you kind of set these expectations of I don't want to make this more than it is, and I want us to be on the same page of that. And then you checked in, you had those check-ins of oh yeah, now I feel like I'm feeling more. And then he was like, oh yeah, I'm feeling more. And I guess being upfront with each other, but also again, it seems like the way you told the story, it's having those other experiences changed the way that you looked at relationships and maybe navigated them too with just the overall stakes of things.
Yeah, exactly. There was still some learning, especially when we started living together. And the more intense my feelings got for him, the harder it would be when there would be some sort of conflict or, disagreement or, so that takes a lot of navigating. We do couples therapy and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cause you're playing that game. Again, that thing in your head, if something goes wrong, there's that part of your brain. It's oh, this is it. This I'm going to experience this thing that I've already experienced. And you have to kind of turn that off and say, oh wait, this is a different scenario and it's okay. Kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't consider myself to be a success story. I wouldn't advise anybody do what I did.
In a sense, you kind of fail. You failed at just having a hookup to get over a breakup, right? That was the.
And I didn't consider myself a serial monogamist by any means because it was all just not good.
Yeah, you had these these weird kind of, as you said, these hookup situationship things.
Yeah.
That weren't ideal. And then then you sort of found yourself in a good scenario.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, thanks so much for sharing all this, Dawn.
You're welcome. This is fun.
If people want to find out more about you and what you got going on, can they find you on social media or anything?
I'm kind of one of those people that doesn't have a whole social media. I mean, I have social media, but I have so many privacy settings.
Yeah, then that's,
But I am doing, I'm doing a storytelling show. I'm doing Story Collider at the end of March, and that's going to be at QED on the 29th.
Cool. Thank you so much for sharing all this, Dawn.
Yeah, thank you.
This is how we love. This is how we fight for something that's right.
Love Hurts is produced, hosted, and edited by Brian Berlin. Theme music by Mickey Hommel. Show art by Caroline Mallon. You can find Love Hurts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend about it. You can find Love Hurts on Twitter and Instagram at Love Hurts Pod, and our website is lovehurtspod.com. I'm Brian Berlin, and this is Love Hurts.